So listen, if you were not here last week, it was a very sensitive issue and a sensitive topic, and it remains that way. We're discussing tonight in our Why series that's been ongoing, sex and sexuality. We kicked off last time the difference between natural and unnatural attraction. And I deliberately use those words, natural and unnatural, because if you were here, you remember that we looked at it and we started speaking specifically regarding the scientific definition of what sexuality is. We didn't even go to the Bible at the start. We talked about the scientific definition of sex and sexuality. Because the issue and the topic tonight is, according to both nature, according to science, and according to the Bible, all three of those witnesses, those tri-unity of witnesses, speak to us in our humanity. Those three witnesses, nature, science, and the Bible, all without wavering and without apology declare that mankind has been created male and female. Those three entities, those three witnesses, science, nature, and the Bible, says that there's two genders. Crystal clear. For a purpose, for a practice, and it's science. And yet today we hear something completely different going on in the world around us. And so the challenge tonight is for those of you who might be here for the first time, you're somewhat at a handicap, because I don't want to spend time recapping, but I also want to be very, very careful to make it clear that what we're talking about is a topic that is well covered in the Bible, and there's grace, mercy, and hope for anyone who gets caught up into any sin. If tonight you're here or you're watching tonight and you are a liar, you're a habitual liar, people know you to be a liar, you know you're a liar, you're a liar. There's hope for the liar to be forgiven. Did you know that? In Jesus Christ. You know what? Maybe you're a womanizer and you hunt women down for your sheer pleasure. That's just how you move. That's how you breathe. You think women were put on this planet for your pleasure? And the Bible says that you are a person that will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. The Bible's crystal clear. The Bible says you're not going. If that convicts you, I want you to know that there's grace and mercy and forgiveness for you tonight. If you're an adulterer tonight, God says, if you repent and you come to me, I'll forgive you. In other words, what I'm trying to say with as much as compassion and clarity as possible, there is no sin represented in this room, or if you're watching right now by YouTube channel or by some other mode of media, wherever you're at in the world right now, you need to know that there is no sin that you could have committed or that you're committing now that is outside God's ability to forgive if you agree with God on something. The word is ek homologeo. If you come to God and you say the exact same word that God is saying about your sin, my sin, that I agree with God, then your life, listen, your life can change tonight. And I bring that up specifically regarding what we're looking at in this area of unnatural sexuality. Science, nature, and the Bible is very clear. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, so God created man in his own image, and in his own image he created him, male and female, he created them. Verse 28, then God blessed them, that is, he put his stamp of approval on it, and he said to them, in a commissioning, by the way, be fruitful and multiply. That the sexual union of the first man and the first woman was to reproduce mankind. That's how humans are created, by sexual reproduction, because God engineered us this way. So when we talk about science, when we talk about nature, and we talk about the Bible, there's this built-in design system that agrees, all three agree with each other perfectly. But when we talk about unnatural sex, what are we meaning by that? Well, the Bible's full of that, by the way. The Bible talks about unnatural sexual activity. Old Testament and New Testament alike. It's crystal clear in both. And so when you made this statement or asked this question, is unnatural sex okay with God? And God says, no, it's not. Now remember, nature says it's not. And science says it's not. I'm not here to beat you up tonight. If this is your battle, I'm not here to beat you up tonight. In fact, if you just stay long enough, there'll be hope for you. There should be encouraging words for you tonight. But it's going to be a hard pill for some of you to swallow because your emotions trump your theology. Some of you think that you can be a Christian tonight and go to heaven. Let me ask you this. Can you be a bank robber or a murderer or whatever else and go to heaven? Listen, the Bible says that any those who practice such things, that is, the word means lifestyle such things, will not go to heaven. You don't have to be outwardly immoral to miss heaven. You can be outwardly very moral. But you can inwardly be so full of pride that your pride is immoral to God. You may be the most upright citizen in the entire community and the most moral person in your family and yet wind up in hell because you were a person full of pride and you didn't need God. But tonight we're talking about unnatural sexuality. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 26, that for this reason, listen, God gave them up. By the way, that word implies that God was patient. He was waiting. But for this reason, God gave them up. He stopped reaching out to them. He ended it. He gave them up to vile passions. For when their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty. This is a terrifying statement. 2,000-year-old document. Listen. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. The word means that they received within themselves, inside of them, the judgment began from the inside out. That word means that because of their sexual activity, the judgment began on the inside. It's 2,000 years ago. Homosexual practice is destructive to the human body. It's a chemical disaster for your system. The Bible anticipated that 2,000 years ago. Why would God say such a thing? He says such a thing because he loves you and he's got a better way for you to live. Now, tonight I hope to divide or differentiate between same-sex attraction, which if I don't bring it up in our study tonight, will you please bring it up in the Q&A? The difference between acting out what the Bible says is clear sin and temptation. We must tonight make very clear those two avenues, okay? You hold me to that. It's vitally important. I mentioned last week, and it absolutely befuddled people, when I mentioned last week that there is scientifically no such thing, scientifically, as a homosexual. That is an undefined, undetermined, and it's not possible to determine that a person is a homosexual. Remember I said that? And you got quiet like you are tonight. See, what do you mean? Are you saying that there are no homosexuals? That's exactly what I'm saying. There is no scientific definition of a homosexual. By the way, you shouldn't be surprised at that. Remember, I challenged you to use your mind. There is no laboratory, there is no scientist, there is no blood, there is no chemistry, there is no record of anything, of anywhere in the world, of a person taking a blood sample or a tissue sample or a DNA sample, running it through the proper analysis, and then concluding, well, okay, this person's a homosexual. You wouldn't know that unless somebody told you that they were. It is a determination that's made. It's a choice that you make. You can conduct or operate yourself in homosexuality. That's a choice that you make regarding unnatural sexual activity. But you're not a homosexual by definition like a male and a female. I can draw your blood and determine that you're a male. I don't have to meet you. I can take a vial of your blood and put it through the analysis, and it will tell me your gender. And it's only going to spit out one or the other. It's not until somebody says to you, no, listen, I am LGBTQ or whatever. It's a choice. It's a decision. You cannot find it scientifically. I say that to you tonight compassionately. I say it to you tonight because I want you to be listening. God loves you and God wants you in heaven, but keep this in mind. He accepts no excuses, and God will not allow anything to be covered up. Before I came to Christ, I was a womanizer. Before I came to Christ, I was not tempted by homosexuality. I was tempted by the other thing. And God made it very clear to me on the night that I heard the gospel that I was going straight to hell unless I agreed with him. Nobody gets a free pass from God on this. See, but Jack, we love each other. Remember what I said last week in the words of that famous philosopher, Tina Turner? What's love got to do with it? Love has nothing to do with it. Homosexuality is a fulfillment of and the attempt to appease a desire of some sorts. Either it's something that gets out of hand and it goes from an emotional, relational experience to one that crosses the line, or it's one that is sheer pleasure. Someone will say, but what I do privately in my own bedroom is my own business. Not anymore, it's not, because the homosexual community made it a public issue. So that train left the station a long time ago. That's not true anymore. And somebody might say, well, I can choose to love anyone I want. It's a free country. Just know this, that our choices have consequences. And this is true for all of us, but selective sex and sexuality is not a civil right, and it's not acceptable to God. And all sexual sin, fornication, adultery, bestiality, homosexuality, all of that is exactly coupled with all other sins is what put Jesus on the cross for us. Remember that. He died to give you a different life, a better life. We talked about last time, is there a biblical justification for my sexual choices? And the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus made it clear. People will say Jesus never mentioned it. We debunked that last week. In some five places cited in Scripture, Jesus affirmed the Mosaic law, science, and nature. And that is that there is no biblical justification for same-sex practice. I want to read to you, and I want it to be on the screen, guys, if you would. It's at the bottom of page 4. I'm going to be reading you a very long, but please bear with me, a very powerful observation. And here we go with this. Guys, go ahead and put that up. Dr. William Pollack, Harvard psychologist and author of Real Boys, has determined that divorce is terribly difficult for children of both sexes, but it is devastating for males. Pollack's research shows that the basic problem is the lack of discipline and supervision in relation to the father's absence or his unavailability to teach his son what it means to be a man. Pollack also believes fathers are crucial in helping boys learn to manage their emotions. Without the guidance and direction of a father, a boy's frustration often leads to varieties of violence and other antisocial behavior. I can attest to that fact. I lived that world. Whereas girls have a readily available model after which to pattern feminine behavior and attitudes, except when daughters are raised by single fathers, boys living with single mothers, listen, are left to formulate their masculine identity out of thin air. This is why early divorce is also harder for boys. Author Angela Phillips believes that the rapid and high incidence of homosexuality occurring in Western nations today is related to the absence of a positive male influence when boys are moving through the first crisis of child development. One of the primary objectives of the parents is to help boys identify their gender assignment, listen, and understand what it means to be a man. Let me read that again. One of the primary objectives of parents is to help, not confuse, help boys identify their gender assignment. Putting it bluntly, it's the parent's responsibility to remind the boy that he is a boy and that his private parts are different than that of a girl's. Simple demand by God and by science. If you have a hard time with that, you are already gone to the talking points of political correctness. You have violated science. If you have a hard time with that, you are in violation of nature. And you are certainly in violation of God's word, which all three agree. Yet just the silence in this place tonight is proof, evidence of how the culture has infiltrated your thinking and the world in which you and I live in. And you will not pay the price. Your child will. And it will be a horrible price. What it means, so numerous researchers agree that losing a dad or never having had one is catastrophic for males. Sociologist Peter Caro believes that because boys spend up to 80% of their time with women, they don't know how to act as men when they grow up. That's a fact. That is an absolute fact. When that happens, the relationship between the sexes is directly affected. This is the United States of America. Well, you know, this is the world right now. Men become helpless and more like big kids. Isn't that true? We have men today. They can't fight a war. I'm not knocking them. They've not been trained to contend. Listen, in our culture today, and including this area, we shelter our kids from suffering. We think suffering's bad. Suffering's fantastic. Suffering makes men and women out of people. Suffering gives you hope. Suffering is what is used in life to make you a stronger person. But what's happening right now, listen, we've got young men today, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. Listen, what this article is making is a direct correlation to sexual confusion and homosexuality among men because they've grown up in fatherless homes. The young boys grow up watching and hearing and feeling and smelling everything mom, everything sisters. And there's no masculinity role in their life, a true masculinity, a good one, not a macho idiotic thing. Macho, that, I don't want, forget it. Dr. James Dobson, PhD in child development from the University of Southern California, writes, "These findings confirm my deepest convictions about marriage and children. I have been warning about the implications of family disintegration for decades. I am convinced that the institution of the family is the ground floor of civilization. Everything of significance to the social contract depends on the stability of that foundation." You doubt that? You doubt that? You can't get out of a freshman class. You doubt that statement. That's pure. The family's broken. America's broken. Culture's broken. We've got boys growing up without dads. And that causes frustration, and you respond with anger. Isn't it interesting? Who are all these shooters? Most of them are young, white males. Almost all of them, I think recently, but one, were fatherless males. Go research that. Go see if I'm fooling you. If it is weakened or undermined, as we are seeing throughout Western culture, the entire superstructure can come crashing down. That is what we appear to be witnessing on every level. Dobson continues, "I believe the future of Western civilization depends on how we handle this present crisis. We, as parents, are raising the next generation of boys who will either mature to be honorable family men, or they will be a liability at home and in their communities. Men are the bridges to the future." I love that statement. "Nations that are populated largely by immature, immoral, weak-willed, cowardly, violent, and self-indulgent men cannot and will not long endure. These types of men include those who sire and abandon their own children." Did you hear that? You get women pregnant, you move on. All I can tell you is God's got a day. He has an appointment with you. You get a girl pregnant and you move on? I can't even begin to fathom. In the old days, you'd be arrested and put in jail for that. Did you know that? To me, this is the ultimate feminist. You need to get on this bandwagon of this one. Sexual, what, free sex without responsibility? Women should rise up against this one. When that bum tries to flirt on you and get you, you need to wise up. You need to wise up. That guy's nothing but a user. He's scum. Can I say that as a pastor? He's absolutely animalistic. Animalistic to use a woman. She's the one that carries the child for the rest of her life. Even if she gives that up for adoption, God forbid, abortion, she carries the scar forever. He's out doing it again to somebody else. All I can say is that God will fix that in the end. It just gets my, I'm sorry, you need to pray for me. It gets me going on that one. What a bum. Sire and abandon their own children, who cheat on their wives, who lie, steal, and covet, who regularly shout at or beat up their wives and children, who hate their countrymen and who serve no God but money. That is the direction of our culture, including the entertainment industry and video game manufacturers, is taking too many of today's boys. We must make every effort to interject those dangerous influences and to build within our young men lasting qualities of character, self-discipline, respect for authority, commitment to the work ethic, and an unshakable love for Jesus Christ. Repeatedly, during my listen, Dr. Dobson says, repeatedly during my research, I came face to face with the same disturbing issue. Boys are in trouble today, primarily because their parents, and especially dads, are distracted, overworked, harassed, exhausted, disinterested, chemically dependent, absent, abusers, lawless, or simply unable to cope. All of their problems plaguing young males flow from or are related to these facts of life. In the 21st century, boys are the big losers when families splinter. Sources, Dr. William Pollack, Harvard, Dr. Angela Phillips, Peter Carl, PhD, and Dr. James Dobson in the book, Bringing Up Boys, page 58. See, what does that have to do with anything? It's interesting to note that earlier on, it's Pollack that said that boys living with single mothers are left to formulate their masculine identity out of thin air. This is why early divorce is also harder for boys. And when Angela Phillips said that statement, it caught my attention. That there's a direct correlation in the incidence and rise of homosexuality among men with the tear down and breakdown of the family. Some of your kids are being told that they're homosexuals by school teachers and stuff like that because this or that. I don't think so. I actually am convinced that there are far fewer homosexuals who are believing that they're homosexuals, even though you cannot scientifically be a homosexual. You can just do homosexual acts. I think young people are confused, scared. They haven't seen a good role model. They don't see good homes. They don't see good moms and dads. They don't see good parenting, and so they look around at a culture that's just like them. They look in the mirror, and they look outside the window, and they see the same thing. A broken home. But it doesn't have to be this way. It can be changed. We can be changed. God changes us. That this may not be your struggle, just know this. God changes people. A lot of people have a hard time with this because they can't handle truth. And it's because we've been sweeping things on our carpet that people are dying. It's a very tragic and serious issue. No, you were not born that way. You were, in fact, influenced in your life. And you were tempted. And you fell for the temptation. But you were not born that way. And you should be encouraged and actually excited about that. The passion of this topic is off the charts. Here's the reason why. The reason why it's so passionate, let's be honest. If I go outside and shout, I'm a Christian, people will drive by. People will drive by, people will laugh, people won't care. Who cares? It's a choice, right? I'm a Christian. It's my choice. No one's expected to, I don't expect anyone to agree with my Christian view. Do you understand? Or becoming a Christian. There's no law out there saying that people have to agree with me. The culture's not pressuring you to accept me, is it? But why on the other foot? Why is it so passionate to the point of almost violence that those who represent the homosexual community demand that the non-homosexual person accept their lifestyle? You want to know why? Because they know it's wrong. They're hurting. They don't understand that. Their life is broken. If they would just look back and review the course of their life and the things that brought them to where they're at today, they would recognize overwhelmingly, the statistics prove this, that they came from a really, really messed up experience that confused them terribly. Cy Rogers, as I quoted last week, Cy Rogers told this church the reason why he became a homosexual or thought he was a homosexual was because as a young child he decided, and then as a teenager decided, bad love is better than no love, until he met the love of Christ and Jesus transformed him. If you have to get so pumped up and so angry and protest and be so angry that people must accept your... You need to take a deep breath and back up and ask, why? Why protest thou so much? Because you will not feel a little bit better unless the world approves. But even if the entire world was to approve, you still wouldn't be happy, because you're going against the nature of God's creation. And he made you to have a different life than that. He made you to be set free from that grip. I want to read this to you. And you say, I don't understand the correlation, but it's very critical. It seems strange. And I read, by the way, from a statement that was made recently by Dr. James Dobson. It's happening in Plainsburg National Park, some odd spelling there, in northwestern South Africa. Rangers have reported that young bull elephants in that region have become increasingly violent in recent years, especially to nearby white rhinos. Without provocation, an elephant will knock a rhino over and then kneel and gore it to death. This is not typical elephant behavior, and it's been very difficult to explain, says the park rangers. But now game wardens think that they have cracked the code. Apparently, the aggressiveness, is a byproduct of a government program that was introduced to reduce the elephant population by killing the older male elephants. Almost all of the young rogue elephants orphaned when they were but calves, depriving the elephants of adult contact. Under normal circumstances, dominant bull elephants keep the young elephants in line and serve as role models to them. In the absence of this influence, juvenile delinquent elephants have grown up terrorizing their neighbors. The point was made that males need the right role model. I'm submitting to you tonight that a great, great amount of those that are being ravaged by the homosexual community is because they had very poor male role models, or none. And that may hurt a lot of people, But our emotions cannot trump nature, science, and theology. These are strong things to say, strong things to put out there. If you care, I'd ask you to write this down if you would. You can get additional help in these areas and get more data. You can get Straight and Narrow by Thomas Schmidt as a book for resource, Straight and Narrow by Thomas Schmidt, or A Strong Delusion by Joe Dallas. You can also get more information on how to cope and how to deal with homosexuality or those that you may know by getting a book entitled Someone I Love is Gay by Anita Warenth and Bob Davies. You can also get the book Coming Out of Homosexuality by Bob Davies and Lori Renzel. The Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. No fornicators, no idol worshipers, no adulterers, nor homosexuals or sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, or revilers or extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. Here's the best verse. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Don't be a self-righteous individual tonight. You look at that list. Oh, that's horrible. Listen. You may not be a sodomite, but are you an extortioner? You may not be a homosexual, but did you cheat on your income tax? Listen, you may not be an adulterer, but are you a fornicator? Nobody gets out of this alive. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So listen, it's time for Q&A. And I need you to be on topic. I promised you that we would do this. And be quick, because we want to really fly on this questions. So somebody ask the first question. Yes.
I don't necessarily have a question, but we heard a testimony that the homosexual, he asked God, please, please, heal me. And he asked several times, and each time he got no.
You're asking me to believe, but you're asking me to believe.
And then he said, you know what? He told me, you're going to live with a thorn in your flesh. But you know what? You can go to heaven with a thorn in your flesh, but you can't go to heaven with that other stuff.
Yeah, listen, her statement wasn't a question, it was a statement. But it's good. A question can be brought right into this. Remember I said earlier, will you please remind me between the difference of committing homosexual acts and homosexual temptation? That's perfect what she just said. You can be a Christian tonight who battles with homosexual temptation. You battle it, you resist it, you fight it, just like every heterosexual fights and battles the temptation of heterosexual temptations. Are you with me? This is normal. You fight it. When she said that this man prayed, God, take this away. And the answer, according to this man, now this is not how you want to form theology, but let's just take it at the face value. She said that the young man said that the Lord said to him, I'm not going to take it away from you. You will, this is a thorn in your flesh. You will fight it. You will resist it. Listen, that can be said about drinking. Do you see that? You must fight it. Look, were you brought up in a violent home? Then you tend toward violence. You see, the imprint, upbringing, is what we lean on. Jesus sets us free from that. But temptation is not a sin. You must fight all temptation. And every one of us are tempted in a billion ways. What makes you, listen, a Christian is that you fight the temptation and you don't live the temptation out. That's the difference between a believer and a religious person. A religious person has religion and lives according to their own desires and knows not God, really. The Christian says, Lord, I've got all of these things pulling on me. Help me, please. And the Lord speaks to you and says, fight it. Fight it. Bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Don't give in to your flesh. Get into the word. Pray. Seek my face. I'll give you the strength. No temptation will come to you that which a way is not provided for you to escape. God is so faithful. Next question. Is it on the... Okay. This will not go as fast tonight because we're doing verbals now, but that's a bummer. Anyway. Yep. Isn't that fantastic? You know you're in desperate straits when the pro-homosexual community says, look, we've seen pictures of these animals. We've seen a cow mounting another cow. So thus, that's our justification. See, there's homosexual animals. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about the gay penguins that are being announced? And then National Geographic and Smithsonian said, there are no gay penguins. This is what male penguins do. They share the raising of the eggs together. It's what they've always done. Those kinds of things. Listen, that's a tragic thing to be able to say, look, those ducks are gay. What are you bringing that up for? Well, because I'm gay. And so, see, I'm okay. Do you see what I said a moment ago, earlier? You scramble to try to find something that's normal and say that, look, that abnormal out of the normal, I'm okay. I'm the abnormal out of the normal. The only problem is that there are animals that all do that activity, but the great thing is they are programmed to reproduce. They're animals. Okay, the dogs or the cows are not saying, man, that is one hot Holstein babe. I'm going to go up there. Or... I know I'm a bull, and that's a good-looking bull. I think I'm going to go. To do that, you have to project human nature upon an animal, and it is such a pathetic, desperate, unscientific attempt. But look, here's the thing. You guys who've been in science, you know there's an old saying. I've told you guys this before, and that's the same kind of thing that Anna's bringing out regarding the pictures of these animals. If you just torture the data long enough, it will confess what you want. If you torture the numbers in your equation because you're not getting the answer you want, just torture the numbers. They'll eventually give you what you want. Next question. I saw his hand first, even though I heard your voice first.
We know salvation can't be lost. So what happens if someone accepts Christ, and then they have one of those problems, adultery, but they have Christ in there?
State your question again, because it's out of sequence.
What happens if someone accepts Christ, and then they start doing one of those things, like being an adulterer? It says that you can't go to heaven.
Before I answer your question, I want to make sure you're asking this correctly.
They already have salvation.
No, listen, I want to make sure you're asking your question correctly. They're sinners in other ways. They are sinners in other ways. They accept Christ, and then they become a homosexual. Can they be saved? Bible says no. Bible says absolutely no. 1 Corinthians 6, it's the same thing as this. I'm a Christian now, and now I want to sleep with other guys' wives. I'm a Christian now. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 7, you have fooled yourself. You've deceived yourself. The truth's not in you. It's very clear. If a person is a Christian and they fall to homosexual temptation and realize, oh my gosh, I mean, not realize, they know, I shouldn't have done it. I gave in to that temptation. It's a sin. Jesus said, in repentance, come to me. You're forgiven. Go now and sin no more. Confess and forsake. Right? But you can't say that you're Christian and then decide to live a homosexual life, which is what a lot of churches are pushing. Then those churches are absolutely under Satan's grip. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So, yeah, questions? Yeah, this is going to be tough tonight. I'm sorry for this. Yeah.
Quick question regarding clothing.
Clothing or cloning?
Clothing.
Okay.
Women wearing men's clothes, men's
clothes. Yeah. Bible says no way. Isn't that something? Did you guys know that? I'm trying to go from the scripture. It's dangerous, but it might be like Deuteronomy 25:25 or Deuteronomy 28:28. Listen up. This gets a lot of people upset. So are you ready to get upset? The Bible says in the spirit of not causing confusion in a culture, the Bible says a man shall never wear women's clothing and a woman shall never wear man's clothing, that such an act is an abomination to Almighty God. A male sending a message, females, well, but transvestites are just expressing themselves. So was Jeffrey Dahmer. So was Osama bin Laden. Come on, it doesn't make it right if you express yourself. Big deal, huh? Man, that just freaked people out. You just like, what? I was just dying to get into a dress. Nope. Way back there, standing up. Yes, sir. I don't know how to make it really quick. I have to repeat this question, and that's going to take time. The culture, he said, for generations, men have not known what to be a father, to be a man. The home's fallen apart. A man doesn't know what to do. Where do we begin? Okay, I'm going to confess right now that my view on this is going to be blunt and harsh, but it's truthful and I believe biblical. Number one, I believe the Bible, that God made us male and female. I believe that God the Holy Spirit's still alive and that he speaks to people. I think if a man knows inside that he's a man and that he should do something. I think it is built into man that when he sees that baby born, that there's a change that happens to him. And I watch it with you. I watch men in this church be goofballs. You can't rely on them. Totally not dependable. They meet a girl, they fall in love, they get married, they got a job, they have a baby, the baby comes out, and immediately that man goes conservative. I'm not talking about Republican or Democrat. Immediately that man says, you know what? I need to get a better car. I need to get a minivan. I need to get a bigger apartment. I need to get a two-room apartment. And I am going to, and you see this guy step up. They step up. So I believe that's inside of a person. We don't have to have a class that teaches that. However, as a church, as a community, as Christians, everything about us begins in the home. Everything about us begins in the home. Don't look to your church to make sure that your kid gets taught the Bible. Did you know that? Don't look to your church to make sure that all your theological training comes from Sunday morning. If you do, you're in trouble. It was never supposed to do that to you. The church was never designed to do that. You're supposed to be learning from Jesus daily, and a church is supposed to be salt and pepper on your daily meal. Well, I'll let the Sunday school people. The Sunday school people can get my kid to heaven. Man, dude, you're in trouble. That ain't going to happen. Okay, you need to step up and you need to do that. But at the same token, biblically speaking, older men that have wives and kids need to mentor younger men who either A, do not have wives and kids yet, or have a wife and or have a kid. You see what I'm saying? Is that discipleship within a church. And so that's vital. Next question. Oh, wait. Okay. Is a homosexual wedding something that Christian friends and family members should attend? Didn't we answer this a couple weeks ago? We answered this a few weeks ago. Here's how you answer that, in my opinion. Okay, we're moving on. Some have said that David and Jonathan's... Yeah, you know who some have said? Yeah, the homosexual community says that David and Jonathan were gay. Why? Exactly what I said earlier. Why do they need Jonathan and David to be gay? To justify their position. It makes them feel better. It's impossible. It will never make you feel better, because even if the entire world was gay, you would still feel wrong about your lifestyle choice, because you're lying against the Holy Spirit. And he's alive. He wants you clean and clear and in heaven. Now, you do understand, everybody, I'm not only talking about the homosexual, I'm talking about this sexual aberrant in all areas. I'm not just the topic tonight is homosexuality. Don't think I'm singling out, oh, you just said, then, no. Next question. How do I respond when people are telling me I will turn out gay? How do I respond? Why would people tell you that? Sometimes I wonder if they are right. Why wonder? Who cares about them? No, seriously, who cares? Who are they? Whoever wrote this down, it's time to unplug from your social media insanity. If you're listening to people, this is very accurate question and a very, very telling regarding the young culture today. Notice the criteria. Some people say, I'm afraid maybe they're right. Wow. I would rather be on the open ocean with a ship with no rudder. Because at least you're floating. That kind of thinking is exactly what the Bible warned about. The fear of man is a snare. It will destroy you. Here's your answer. Listen, you don't listen to people who are going against the scriptures. I'm assuming you're a believer. You don't get your counsel, Psalm 1 says, from the world. You reject the counsel from the unbelieving world. Because the Bible says it is an earthly wisdom. It's devilish. And God's not in it. So when they say, oh, you know what? And this is exactly the thing about the whole system where the school says, you know, I think you're gay. If anybody in the class, any girls in the class thought that, you know, wondered what it would be like to kiss a girl, you're probably gay. This is what's being told in our public schools. The kid's impressionable. The kid goes home and announces to his parents, think I'm gay. They're not gay. They just go to a bad school. Should people who struggle with gay thoughts become celibate? Wow, that's not for me to say. But listen, can I give you a little bit of liberty here? People who struggle with gay thoughts, the gay temptations you mean, that's temptations. Should you be celibate? I'm assuming the question comes from a single person. No. Ask God to give you great victory over that temptation. Now, if God is telling you to be celibate based upon 1 Corinthians, it's true. God tells some people and he gives them that gift. They don't want to be married. And you don't want to be. Then fantastic. But whatever thoughts, look, let's read it again differently. Oh, I see it's on back screen, but not here. Watch me change it. Should people who struggle with heterosexual thoughts become celibate? You see? You need to, listen, whatever is coming inside your head, you battle that. This is a constant battleground. And you got to be very careful what goes in here and what goes in here. Big time, because it matters. Hand raised right here, but then we'll go back to the screens. Yes. So listen, we answered this question a few weeks ago, but we'll answer it again. We need you guys to attend every week. How's that? So here's the deal. Here's the deal. This is what I would encourage you to consider. I'm not going to tell you what to do. If I've been invited to a gay wedding, number one, it means I must somehow know the individual. That means I have the direct connection to call them or write them a letter. I think writing a letter would be best, and say, I received an invitation to your wedding, and if I haven't told you, let me tell you now, I'm a Christian, and the Bible says this regarding homosexuality. I want you to know that I love you, and that I pray for your salvation, and I pray for your heart toward God, your relationship with God, that you would have one like that or something to that effect. However, for me to attend the wedding, that would be against my personal convictions. And surely you would not want me to violate my personal convictions. Wait. So I am saying that I will not be there, but I want you to know that I love and I pray for you. And I'm asking you to honor my convictions. I guarantee you right now, and on rare occasions maybe, but I guarantee you right now, that letter will be received with damnation. Why? Going back to what we said earlier. To not accept is to stand, you're standing in truth, but if you don't accept, then it's making them feel unwelcomed or unaccepted. So listen, let's play this out the other way. You don't believe in gay wedding. You believe that homosexuality is a sin. You believe in the Bible, and you go to the wedding, and you're there. And what are you there? Why would you go to a wedding? You should go to a wedding. You know what the old saying used to be, and we should get back to it. Does anyone here see any reason why these two should not be wed? You know, there's a great history behind all that. What would you say? What if you were sitting in a service, and it was a gay service, and the pastor said, "Is anyone here that sees any reason why these two should not be wed?" And I'm the Christian. I'm going to go. I'm going to listen to the pastor who said I need to be a witness for Christ. Oh yeah, really? That's why I said, "How's that going to happen?" Well, I'll tell you how it's going to happen. A Christian would say, "Excuse me, I object." No, what are you going to do? You're going to lie against your conscience? What are you going to do, sit there? Oh, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So why did you go? Well, I wanted to know that I love them. Haven't you communicated that to them yet already? Can't you write them a note and say, I love you, but I'm a believer in Jesus, and God did not make homosexual. He didn't make homosexuals, because there are none. Listen to the Wednesday night service at Calvary. No, there's no homosexual. You see what I'm saying? For you to say, yeah, I'm going to go and I'm going to be a witness, then you better be a witness. If that pastor says, does anybody see any reason? Boy, that's your God-given moment. That's where you stand up and say, Jesus loves and Jesus forgives, but we need to, you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, amen, Lord.
But look, this topic is, man, a pastor is... This is where pastors lock horns on this. It's a lot easier to not say the stuff I'm saying, because you know what? If we're indebted to people, if we need people to pay the bills, and if we need people to be our success, if we need crowds to be our ego stroker, then I'm doing the wrong thing these last 55 minutes. Right? Or is it truth and God will honor the truth? Listen, you do understand tonight. You must understand tonight that though we are to stand for righteousness, in love, speak the truth, all the while understanding, friends, these are the last days. Jesus said, in the last days before I return, the world, not California, not America, the world will be like Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus said. These things must happen. They will happen. But the believer doesn't roll over and let our friends who are LGBTQ just sail right off into the lake of fire. We reach out to them, risking our own reputation to love them enough. No one's going to tell them, because frankly, listen, nobody loves them as much as you love them. Because you know where you're going, you know what God can do in forgiveness, you know how God can change a life, and you are bursting on the inside that they might know the freedom and the love. Because bottom line, you want acceptance? You're never going to get it from the world. My homosexual friends, you'll never get it from the world. You want meaning and you want purpose? It's not going to come in some group, some club, some movement. All the things you're longing for is exactly what Jesus fills the adulterer her heart with? The liar, the thief, the murderer, the drug addict. He fills you with himself. And all that other stuff becomes secondary to where it's mitigated down to a temptation until we die or we get raptured. It's a temptation that hits us and we push it aside. And it hits us again and we push it over there. Our eyes are on the target. It's Jesus. We're moving forward. People say things. We get that thought. Lord, get that thought out of my mind. And then somebody does something and say, you know what? That's wrong. And then say, hey, you remember when we used to? No, I don't want to talk about that. You just keep going right on straight to Jesus. Remember, if you've never read Pilgrim's Progress, it's clear. We need to read it. You need to read it. You need to keep your eyes on the celestial city. You need to carry your burden up the hill. You need to keep going through all of the difficulties. You need to go and experience the route, the path, the trail, all the while knowing God has promised to get you through, to navigate these waters filled with icebergs. And you're going to make it. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you're going to make it. But please don't think that you can be a Christian adulterer. Don't think that you can be a Christian thief. Don't think that you can be a Christian wife beater. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. Listen, I have to end right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, I'll be so glad when the Wise series is over. Lord, this is intense stuff. Wow. Lord, I pray that tonight with anyone, and I know that there's people watching right now. It's already their Thursday. They're this morning there. God, in these places, wherever we may be right now, I pray that, Lord, you'd magnify your truth. Not anything I've said. Only your truth. To the hearts and the minds of anyone that is struggling this evening, struggling this day with this issue over homosexuality and all of its forms. That the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ, the Jesus of the Bible, the one true God who died on the cross for our sins and rose again, that tonight, today, wherever you may be, you'd put your trust in him, that you would turn to him and say, Lord, I invite you to take my life, and Lord, you rearrange, you structure, you wash, you purge the sin from my life, and give me the Holy Spirit that I might live the rest of my days walking with you, rejecting and fighting temptation, doing the right thing, that I might honor you and that I might live a life that you've intended me to live. And Lord, while we're at it, we pray for the healing. Oh, Lord, a miraculous healing for the American home and family. We pray, Father, now for the LGBTQ community, that they would experience the love that they're searching for before it's too late, that can only be found in the holy, awesome, righteous arms of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.